Good afternoon.
Bears fans, this is Take the North.
We're going to take the North and never give it back.
Welcome to the Take the North podcast. I'm David Haw from the Mullen and Haw Show on 670 The Score. Dan Weider from the Chicago Tribune is still on this side of the ocean, getting ready to go to the other side of the ocean. Dan, the Bears are in London. We heard from Kevin Warren. We heard from Ryan Poles today abroad. And, of course, Matt Eberflus. But how excited are you to get going on your trip to meet Brad Biggs on the other side of the ocean?
Yeah, from the conversation that you and I had earlier this morning on the Mullen and Haw Show, it sounds like Brad's really enjoying the long commute from the media hotel to the team practice facility way out in yonder. And so I'm looking forward to getting a look at everything and how everything's going down over there. The Bears obviously made the decision to travel early in the week. I think they expect to see dividends from that, of getting themselves acclimated. And I will be a little bit later on the Jaguar schedule trying to get myself acclimated as I get over to London. It's not something I look forward to because I get pretty messed up by the jet lag, but we'll find a way. We'll find a way, as we always do.
Let's get going on this opening drive.
It's time for the opening drive.
All right, so we heard from Ryan Poles. We heard from Kevin Warren. Obviously, the big story is that Jaquan Brisker was ruled out, Dan. Before we get to some of the things around the game, let's deal with that because of the instant ramifications. It elevates Elijah Hicks. Where does Jonathan Owens fit in this entire equation? Because his is a familiar name, and I was not surprised, but what Elijah Hicks is mostly a free safety. I know that they're interchangeable in this defense. Yeah. But why Elijah Hicks instead of Jonathan Owens?
Yeah, I think they just think he has more ability in this particular defense. And Owens has been the safety four, so to speak, since camp began. And Hicks has been the guy that filled in. Remember last year, as the Bears dealt with injuries to both Jaquan Brisker and Eddie Jackson, Elijah Hicks plugged into both those roles and handled himself pretty well. And so he will be the next man up. Matt Eberflus made that clear on Wednesday, which we expected him to, and Owens will continue to play a major role on special teams. Obviously, he had an interception in garbage time last week that he dropped, and so you want to take advantage of those opportunities when they come. But for now, he'll be more on the third phase than the first two.
We'll talk about what it means to Jaquan Brisker, big picture, long term, later in the pod. But when you look at just the immediate impact on this Bears defense, they are going to be playing without a guy tied for the team lead in tackles, a guy who is a pass rusher out of the blitz, very effective, and a guy who emotionally is one of their leaders because of the way that he plays and because of just the energy he brings. How different is this Bears defense without Jaquan Brisker?
Yeah, I mean, it'll be different, but I don't think there's going to be a significant fall off. I think what you've seen from this defense through the first five games of the season is that they're equipped on all three levels to make plays, that they have really, really talented guys on the defensive line, in the linebacking core, and in the secondary that can impact the game. And so you'll notice Jaquan's presence missing a little bit on Sunday in London and for as long as he's out. But I don't think the production is going to fall off in a way where you go, man, he's really got to get himself back as soon as possible. Look, like, this defense is playing really well right now. And I thought they handled themselves really well in a should win game against Carolina the other day. You get your four sacks, you get your three takeaways, you take care of the game. And after having a very early uncharacteristic lapse on the long Chuba Hubbard touchdown run, they settled in and held Carolina to 3 points the rest of the way. So you've got a group there that knows it's got forward momentum. They haven't had to deal with much injury related step backs here during the first part of the season. Now you get one and we'll see how they respond.
So you look at the Bears defense having given up 20 or fewer points, 11, it's 12 games in a row now. So isn't it
21 or fewer in 11 straight now?
In 11 straight, this is going to be the 12th if they can do it again. You look at their home winning streak, which is something that's a home field advantage. This is a home game, but I don't think this would count toward the streak. It's not at Soldier Field. But overall, big picture, things are headed in the right direction, which is why hearing from Ryan Poles is something that we don't typically do during the season. We don't hear from the general manager of the Bears, but he did speak today in London. How would you summarize what he had to say and how he's feeling about a team that at 3-2 now has an opportunity to, you know, be 4-2 heading into the bye? That would be very, very positive vibes at Halas Hall.
Yeah, a lot of times when you hear from the general manager early within a season, it's because a coach has been dismissed or a player has been traded or something out of the ordinary has happened that you need to hear from him. He took the time with the Bears going overseas to meet the media. And I think he sees a team right now through his lens that, in his own words, is learning, improving, growing, and adapting, which I thought those were four key adjectives that he stamped on this team through five games, a 3-2 start. And that last one, I think, is the most important, because the ability for this team to adapt after the loss in Indianapolis and to find themselves a solution, really a success-oriented solution to getting themselves on track, was a big deal. And I think everybody in the building believes very strongly that the response that was shown these last two games, albeit against inferior opponents, was positive for the Bears. How many seasons, David, have we sat here and talked about, boy, the losing streak's at 3, now it's at 4, now it's at 5, and everybody internally is talking about, man, they're really holding it together through this 5-game losing streak. And we were always lobbying for, don't let the losing streak get to 5 games before you figure out how to get yourself back on track. To the Bears' credit, after a 2-game skid, they got themselves back on track. Part of that was because of their ability to adapt. And I think Ryan Poles believes very strongly in the leadership of his head coach, his coaching staff, and the players that have been empowered to lead this team.
Big part of that is the rise or the consistency the last 2 weeks of Caleb Williams and his ability to protect the football. What happened in Indianapolis was a good lesson for everyone, perhaps. Through 52 passes, they have not been as pass dominant or heavy since that point. When Ryan Poles spoke about his young quarterback, what was the one thing that he said today impressed him the most?
Well, he certainly has seen increased pocket comfort, you know, and that poise that then creates an ability for him to make good decisions and see the field properly. And so I think there is something there to look, we both know that the first 2 weeks of the season, that pocket was muddy and it was getting dented and it was getting cluttered and it was really hard to find calm back there. And Caleb has gotten some friendlier matchups here the last several weeks, and which has allowed him to settle in, which is significant. Ryan, David, did say some things about the pocket depth being improved, which is an interesting sort of framing on the space that your rookie quarterback has to move within there. And so I think that is a big part of Caleb getting comfortable back there. He looked as comfortable as he has all year against Carolina, obviously. Big passing day. I also took note of the 5 scrambles he had, because they were all purposeful the other day. 3 of them for first downs, and all of them done with eyes down the field, intent to throw, and okay, my clock's run out, I got to go. And he gets out and he makes some plays with his legs. If he can add that dimension to his game and his passing continues to come along the way it has through the first 5 games, look out. It's going to be a pretty promising thing to watch.
The offensive line remains kind of in a state of flux because of injuries to Tevin Jenkins, because of the mystery surrounding Nate Davis. You have Matt Pryor's emerged as a reliable guy at right guard. Bill Murray stepped in well at left guard. Did Poles address the state of the offensive line and what he thinks about the most, I think, shaky position group with the Bears?
Yeah, and well, you mentioned Larry Borum, Ryan Bates, two guys that the Bears may be able to bring back from injured reserve here coming out of the bye would be a realistic timeline to look at those two guys. And if you can get some stability there with your offensive line and really create the depth that Ryan has felt strongly about since camp ended, you're going to be in a good spot. And so we'll see where they go going forward. I think Matt Pryor's addition to the starting lineup has been a pleasant surprise for this team. They think he's really given them some edge in the run game and obviously been able to do some things that have helped make that pocket a little bit cleaner for Caleb Williams. Still need strides, obviously, and you want to keep your rookie quarterback clean if they can, and he can continue to produce. Now all of a sudden you get on that proverbial escalator that I talk about so much, and the Bears want to get there before they get to division play in November.
So before we get to what Kevin Warren had to say about the state of the Bears Stadium project as he addressed the international media in London, anything else that Ryan Poles said stand out to you?
Yeah, I'm going to give you a name that we don't hear a lot about. Brent Salazar is their director of high performance, and he was one of the guys that was instrumental in giving input into their early departure for London. He has a background in international travel for athletics and spent some time in the pro tennis world, and so offered some advice to Ryan Poles and his staff on how to handle this trip most productively. Some of that really, really revolved around, and Ryan talked about it on Wednesday, about the ability to get sleep on the flight over to London, whether that's taking certain vitamins or having the right pillow for the plane or having a mask that helps you fall asleep. I need to go see Brent Salazar before I get on my own flight, because if I can get some sleep on this red eye overnight, you know, then all of a sudden maybe I hit the ground with a little more pep in my step. That's obviously the hope for the Bears, is that they acclimate quickly and that this is all just a rearview mirror conversation by the time they get to Sunday morning in London and have to get themselves ready to play a football game against the Jaguars.
You guys had a really good stat. You referenced the Athletic study that there have been 36 games in London, 17 times teams arrived on the same day, 19 times that teams didn't arrive on or they arrived on different times. The team that arrived first have won 12 of those 19 games. That's a 12-7 record. So that would seem to be numbers that indicate the earlier you get, maybe the better off you are. But I think that also could be a case-by-case basis.
I was just going to say, on the surface, it sounds good. It looks good. But there's so many variables within every game that factor into the final result. I think your biggest concern is balancing your ability to get adjusted from a physical body clock standpoint and your ability to, when you do go early, settle into a productive preparation routine, because you're taken out of your norm. And when you get into the rhythm of a season, there's a very, very natural rhythm to everything you do. Every day feels a certain way. And now you go over to a new country and you're staying in a hotel and you're there the whole week. Everything gets disrupted. And so as a player, as a unit, as a team, you have to find a way to lock in. And that's going to be the challenge for Matt Eberflus and crew this week.
So Kevin Warren spoke. I could just imagine how many British journalists maybe were rolling their eyes as he spoke about the majestic skyline of Chicago and how the lakefront is such a beautiful place to be, as they imagine, you know, London in a world-class city as well. But he did continue to push the idea that when the stadium project came up, that the lakefront property where they are in the south lot of south of Soldier Field remains the focus of the stadium project. Dan, he talked about a couple things in terms of gauging the price of steel. He introduced that idea in terms of the timetable. He said that they want to break ground and begin the construction project in 2025, which would be 3 years out from then in terms of finalizing the project. And he also talked about studying over the next 2 months the idea of private equity, of selling a minority shares to a private equity group that would allow the Bears to gain some more cash, up to 10% of the franchise value, which, let's say, extrapolate that out, it would be right around $700 million to add to the $2 billion that they already have pledged. I just wonder, when you do the math, and it still looks like it'd be a very significant portion of this would be publicly subsidized by the Bears plan. What did you hear from Kevin Warren today that stood out to you?
Okay, so three things. First, on the topic of private equity, it sounded like that wasn't on the front of their radar right now. This is all an evolving landscape in the NFL, and it sounds like the Bears really want to learn more about what the machinations of that will be, if it's something worth pursuing long up the road. The thing I highlighted on my notes, both listening to Kevin and then rereading the transcript, is 2025. There has been a vow for a long time now that there's going to be a shovel in the ground in 2025. There has been no backing off of that. That seems to be a hard and fast deadline that the team president and CEO has set and doesn't seem to be wavering on. Okay, so now let's see progress. Let's see momentum pushing forward towards something that gives you belief that that can occur. We want to get the shovel, right, David? We'll go to Ace Hardware and give them the shovel if they can promise that that thing will be in the ground in 2025, because this project needs to start progressing. It needs to start having some momentum going forward, and doesn't have a whole lot right now. As much as Kevin talks about the vision on the lakefront and the things that you can do in the majestic downtown area that you spoke about, you've got to get a lot of people to give you a push. You know, it's business leaders, it's politicians, it's the people that control the purse strings of a lot of different areas to get that going. So that's one takeaway. I will tack on to that the fact that, and I wanted to reread it after I listened to it for the first time, Kevin said that Chicago remains the best site for the Bears as of now, which seemed to be the first time in a long time that the door felt a sliver open for Arlington Heights to come knocking, you know, knock, ring the bell, shout through the window, whatever you need to do. But it's your turn to, like, get your voice heard. And it's my understanding that the representatives in Arlington Heights have been active in recent months and trying to vocalize their abbreviated and amended pitch to get that momentum stirred again. I'm not so sure that it won't get rolling too far down the road if the Bears continue to run in these roadblocks with all of the financial dynamics and political dynamics that come into play in Chicago.
So as they study the private equity involvement, how much interest have you heard, if any, about people who would be or groups that would be interested in investing in the Bears? Have you heard anything like that? Because I would imagine that it wouldn't be there's a small group of probably that would be involved in that. I'm not quite sure if that is appealing to people or not.
I don't know. I don't know what the specifics of folks that would be leaning into something like this would be. You would understand the attraction for people with a lot of money to try to capitalize on a brand and, you know, obviously an organization that has tremendous potential to grow in the decades ahead. I don't know who that would be. I did see a list where the Haw family was listed as number two, I think, on that list of folks.
No, I don't think so. No.
You can confirm or deny that. Here.
I would definitely deny that. Yeah, definitely deny that. We're not investing anything but time in the Bears.
There you go.
Anything else that Kevin Warren had to say that stood out?
Yeah, I think, you know, look, like I'm going through my notes here and he talked about the matrix here of financial, business, operation, construction, all the different things that have to marry together.
He had a new audience. So he wanted to basically, he's a president of the Bears. I think that he's the guy that you want to hear from. But with a new audience, I think that he had talked about a lot of things that sound familiar to us and are new themes or to them, but not necessarily new ground for us.
Semi new audience, because all the questions obviously were asked by Chicago beat writers during that press conference, I believe. The other thing that has come up recently is this idea of the NFL sending all 32 teams overseas once a year. And that's something that seems to be gaining momentum within league circles, that this is a matter of when, not if. And that's a really fascinating thought process, that the league's ambition to expand their global footprint would go to that length in the near future, potentially, if they can get the backing to do so. The Bears could be in line to play in Madrid in 2025. You know, that's another one to put on your radar as we talk here on the podcast. But that's a fascinating world, David, that would take a lot of logistical smoothing out to figure out how every team is going to pull that off during the structure of an NFL season.
Was Trent Krim from The Independent there, from the Ted Lasso show? Did he ask any questions?
It's a good question. Maybe I'll run into him when I get over there in the coming days and we can see.
He could be the next guest on the pod.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah, no doubt about it.
All right, let's move on to looking at the game itself, Sunday against the Jaguars in the next segment. Two-game winning streaks aren't anything to take for granted for a team that has lost as often as the Bears have. They have a chance to take a three-game winning streak into the bye. Last week was must-win. I don't know what this week is described as, Dan, but it's an opportunity for the Bears to really justify the expectations that they experienced and heard all of offseason and over the summer. You're 4-2 going into the bye, and you got to feel pretty good about yourselves. This seems like it's also a very vulnerable opponent, but I don't know if I feel very confident, only because of the factors involved with the travel, the neutral site, and a lot of the things that are harder to predict.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that. I think you described this properly in calling it an opportunity for the Bears, because if you can hit your bye week at 4-2 with a three-game winning streak and obvious momentum, the whole city's going to feel great about the direction that this season's going and the relevance that it can have. I'm with you, as I expressed to you on the Mully and Haw show on Wednesday morning, and understanding that the X factor of London is maybe the Bears' bigger opponent this week than the Jacksonville Jaguars are. It's just figuring out a way to get your entire team ready to play a football game for 3 hours in the middle of a Sunday afternoon over there. It'll be Sunday morning here, in a way that can be productive. Because when I look at this matchup, the Jaguars' pass defense is atrocious. Should be a great opportunity for Caleb Williams to take another step forward and the Bears passing attack to take another step forward. The Bears defense is the better unit when you put them against the Jacksonville offense, which will probably be without Travis Etienne. They may get Evan Engram back, but you look like you should be the team that wins this football game. Ryan Poles talked a lot in 2023 about a team taking the step from hoping it can win on Sundays to believing it will win on Sundays. This team right now is positioned to believe it will win games like this on a regular basis. They've done so the last 2 weeks. Take care of business here. Just go out there and do your thing. Now, again, as we both talked about here, the X factor is how quickly can you get yourself settled into a routine and a focus that allows you to do that when it matters on Sunday.
And the Jaguars are more used to that organizationally because of their experience in London. But if you're the Bears, you want to try and use a formula that has worked the last 2 weeks. That's a formula that doesn't include, even as tempting as it will be to maybe attack in the passing game because the weakness is there, they're run heavy the last 2 weeks. And that's good because, as we have talked about, everyone got to Shane Waldron after the Colts game, and whether it was the leadership group or his boss, Matt Eberflus or Ryan Poles or everybody, but the Bears offense has been more balanced and more efficient since that point. I know the opponent might have something to do with it, but against the Jaguars, I think you don't want to stray from that too far, because if you use the same formula then for success, I think your downfield pass game will emerge out of your play action passing game, and you protect the quarterback and good things can happen. So run the ball, mix in the pass, look down the field and take advantage of those chances.
Admit it, last weekend in the 12 o'clock hour, early on in the 12 o'clock hour, when the Panthers hit that first touchdown, there was a thought of, oh, God, right? Like, have the Bears clearly not cleared this hurdle of being able to take inferior opponents and just whop them out of town? They're down 7-0 early, and you're going, man, this is an offense that has been challenged in the first half of games for the entire month of September. To their credit, they mounted a response drive. They went down the field 70 yards, 7 plays, didn't see a third down on that drive. Tied it up and never looked back. They ended up outscoring the Panthers 36-3 the rest of the game. And it should have been more lopsided than that. They had a touchdown called back on a questionable clipping call, left an extra point out wide to the right, didn't have the ability to score all the touchdowns that they could have scored in that game. But to go 36-3 after getting hit with that early uppercut was a pretty strong response by the Bears and gives you a belief that they are a team capable of handling their business more so than they have been in recent years.
Yeah, I think now it's a matter of how do you handle success. We know they can handle adversity. It's a pretty resilient group, as they have been under Matt Eberflus for the most part. But now it's how do you handle success? A two-game winning streak. Don't get complacent. Don't get ahead of yourselves. Don't do anything except for focus on the opponent and task at hand. And they have an opportunity against a team that they should beat. The Jaguars are a field goal away from unraveling and probably firing their coach last week. So they escape Indianapolis in the Colts game with a victory, but they're still an opponent you should take care of because they're not as good as you are. You're the better team. If you're the Bears, take care of business and move on to 4-2 at the bye. That would be something everyone can look forward to. All right, let's move on to talk about Jaquan Brisker's future in our next segment. Third year in a row, Dan, Jaquan Brisker will miss time because of being in concussion protocol. And I think that when you do that 3 seasons in a row, you start to worry about the concussion history because there is one. I don't know if you can change a style of play. I don't even want to hold that responsible for this specific situation because Tommy Tremble is the one who kind of lowered his helmet and made head-to-head contact with Jaquan Brisker, and both guys were affected by that. I'm not sure where this is headed, but if I were Jaquan Brisker's family, if I were his agent, if I were Jaquan Brisker, I would be concerned about the things that have happened in the way that I play and also the things that have happened to me in terms of a concussion protocol and the concussion history that have it's a scary time, I think, right now for him moving forward.
There's no question about it. And this is a dicey situation, and it's the kind of situation that I've struggled with through my entire time covering the league, because it's so easy, David, to get really immersed inside of a football season and try to figure out what does this mean for this week's game? What does this mean for next month's depth chart without thinking about what does this mean for Jaquan Brisker in the 2040s, right? And Jaquan Brisker is still a player on his rookie contract. He hasn't gotten that extension yet to get the sort of financial stability and the things that come along with being a good player in the NFL that sets you up for later in life. And so your urge will be to try to get yourself back into playing as soon as possible. Jaquan Brisker is another guy who brings passion every time he steps on a football field. This is what he loves to do. He does it with tremendous energy. He does it with tremendous enthusiasm, and he plays the game with a violent and aggressive edge to him. 3 consecutive years has wound him up in concussion protocol, and in 2022 as a rookie, he missed 2 games, came back from that absence and said it was a really difficult 2 weeks to try to get himself recentered after that injury that occurred. He goes back last year, and he misses a game that the Bears initially said was illness related. And then the following week he misses a second consecutive game and it was in concussion protocol. And so now you're in year three of having head trauma, and let's not minimize that. This is third consecutive year of significant head trauma that's going to cause you to miss time. There are a lot of things that have to come into play when you have these discussions with your family, when you have these discussions with the trainers, when you have these discussions with your front office people. You have to keep a bigger picture in mind, and it's not easy to do. It leaves you unsettled even talking about it, David, because you don't know what the right call for Jaquan Brisker is, other than that he needs to remain cautious and vigilant as he goes forward.
I think it's almost a little different. I mean, this is definitely a conversation topic every season. And Tua Tagovailoa in Miami obviously it was highly publicized because of the collision with DeMar Hamlin. And then, you know, he's missed time and talk about his retirement because of his concussion history. I don't know if they're there yet with Jaquan Brisker, but it's very similar. And I think it's almost, I don't want to like be an alarmist, but I think it's almost like harder for a guy like Jaquan Brisker to face than it is a quarterback, because quarterbacks can avoid contact much more easily than a strong safety in the NFL. Contact is a way of life, and how you handle that violence and how you handle that contact will define on how good of a player you are. So it's not like a quarterback. This is a tougher situation, because three seasons in a row is a trend and a pattern. He's not had an NFL season yet where he's not suffered a concussion. So you wonder about his future with the Bears. You wonder about the Bears believing in the ability to invest in him. And if everything is affected by this, unfortunately, those are the realities of it. And you just feel bad, because this is a player that represents your franchise as well as you want anybody to, and is one of the emotional leaders of this defense.
During my time covering the Vikings in the early 2010s, there was a on the bubble roster fringe offensive lineman named DeMarcus Love, who got suspended for performance enhancing drugs. And the conversation came up the day that suspension came out. I was like, why is DeMarcus Love using performance enhancing drugs? And the answer was, he's exactly the kind of guy that is going to use performance enhancing drugs, because he's trying to create job security for his life and his future. Either he does it and he improves his performance, or he doesn't do it and he gets cut and he's out of football and he's searching for another job anyway. And so I bring that up only to say that Brisker's obviously not a roster fringe guy, but he's a guy that ultimately wants to be in the league for a while and wants to earn that second contract and wants to get that payday. And when you're motivated to strive forward with those things, your vision can be a little bit clouded by situations that are a lot more complex than they seem when you have the present on your mind instead of the future. And so, look, like I've liked Jaquan since he's gotten here. He's been a welcome addition to this team, a really vibrant addition in the locker room. You hope that this is more minor than the previous 2 years have been, but I don't know that there's any such thing as minor head trauma. And he's got to sit long and hard once he's able to get through this a little bit and see his future through clear eyes with people around him that can help him make a decision that's best for him in the long run.
Tough call, and you just wish him nothing but the best. That's well put. All right, let's move on to our 2 minute drill.
The 2 minute drill.
The 2 minute drill.
All right, Dan, so as you get ready to go to the airport or flying out tonight to London, or what, are you flying out tonight to London?
I'm leaving on Thursday, so Thursday morning. I get a little bit more time to get packed and settled.
All right, that's good, because the overnight flight is a bear. So we need to let people know what's going on with the Take the North podcast. I am going to be stepping aside for a while. I'll be making a periodic appearances, but it just came down to, as you know, I'm doing more with the Chicago Sports Network. We have two shows, one every night for people to get CHSN wherever you live or in the Chicago area. I do the Big Pro Football Show, and then we do the Chicago Lead, 5:30 to 6, and then 6 to 7. So because of the realities of that, the demands of that, I have kind of the middle of the day where I have time to rest and work out and do anything else. And then so it's a lot, and we're just trying to manage my time a little bit more wisely. We're going to give this a shot to see how it goes, and hopefully it will go well. But because of that, I'm just going to be a little more scarce with the time, and I will miss doing this on a regular basis. because of just how much fun it has been. I mean, I'm looking at the episode. This is episode 240. So we've done a lot of these, and we've had a lot of fun with it. I'm not going to say goodbye forever. There'll be periodic stops back. And like I said, you know, things will evolve. But this has been a lot of fun to do. But if there's somebody else, or if there's not me talking on a regular basis, that's why. I'm going to be doing some more TV, and there's only so many hours in a day to fit everything in.
So a few things I want to say here as we kind of address this topic. Number one, I've been impressed with Caleb Williams since he got in here his rookie season because he's got this bandwidth. Well, your bandwidth may be second to none. Your ability to handle as many responsibilities and duties as you have all across the Chicago media landscape is really impressive. It's pretty inspiring, to be honest with you. And I totally understand having a 5:30 a.m. radio show and an evening TV show, why your schedule would feel a little bit spread thin there. And so, you know, you and I have talked offline, and I've always appreciated the effort and hustle that you've put into every episode that we've recorded on here. You know how I've felt about you for 10 plus years as a teammate, a guy who's always available, always reliable, capable of going the extra mile for the people around him. It's been much appreciated. You will be missed on here. We were getting comments in the Twitter feed. Where's David been? We're getting some in the YouTube channel. What happened to David? Then I got a text this very morning from my brother in Boston, loyal listener. He said, what the heck happened to Haw? I miss hearing his voice on the show. And so I was like, okay, now like maybe this is the true incentive to address this. Once I've upset family members, letting them know where you've been,
can't
we've really
got
to get this out there. So to my brother, Ed, this is your explanation from David himself on what's happening here. And you will be missed. Like I said, you are welcome whenever you have time to come back on here and share your thoughts. We'll have a lot more conversations on Mullion Haw every week. And whenever you want to come back to the podcast that you launched, brother, it's an open invitation. You just call and we'll make sure that Studs has your name on the list at the front door.
Well, thank you. And thank you, Ed, for listening and watching all these years. It's always good to hear from the Wiederer family. That's a longtime tradition since Dan arrived in Chicago 11 years ago.
Yeah, about 11 years ago. Yeah, crazy, right?
At the Tribune News. Great. Yeah. So thank you very much for saying all that. And thank you, everyone, for listening. And keep listening, because this is one of the best podcasts on the Bears that there is. It's because Dan works so hard and he's up there. And you're not going to get anybody who has better insight into this team and your team than Dan Wiederer. So for Dan Wiederer and Adam Studzinski, our producer, I'm David Haw. We'll talk to you next time. Thank you for listening to the Take the North podcast.
Great talk. See you out there.
Thank you, everybody. The Bears.